But they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. And they got King Saul. He was a bad king. God said, from now on, I'll get the king that I want. And he wanted David to be the king. So he sent Samuel out to anoint David to be the king. So David was the first legitimate king of Israel. He's from the tribe of Judah. From there on, all the kings have to be from that one tribe. They have to be from Judah, you see. So that's what you read about in 1 and 2 Samuel is those two kings. David being the first legitimate king over Israel. And by the way, David was a mighty king. He was a type of Christ in many ways. He's a great military leader. And he's the one, you know, that he killed Goliath. Goliath the giant, you know, he picked up 5 smooth stones. I mean, he had a sling in his hand and he killed the giant with that. I love to preach about that. I have a sermon on that entitled Simple Weapons. You can live the Christian life with simple weapons. You don't have to have a computer. You don't have to have an iPhone. All you have to have is simple weapons, a Bible, prayer, all those kinds of things, you know, faith in God. Simple weapons, and you can live for God. Doesn't cost you a whole lot, see. So David killed a giant with a slingshot, and David was one in the Bible who never lost a battle. He's a great military leader, and he never lost a battle. But listen carefully. Even though he never lost a battle, he lost some sons. Yes, sir. He lost some sons, you see. One of his sons was Absalom. Absalom that we're reading about here, he killed another son, Amnon. Amnon was the first of David's sons, first of 19 sons born to David. Man, that'd be a houseful, wouldn't it? Well, David had a bunch of wives, too, and that was a problem. Absalom was the third born, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 8. Well, Absalom wound up killing Amnon, and I'll tell you why. The trouble all started back in 2 Samuel chapter number 13. And I want you to turn back there. Just turn back to the left a little bit in your Bible, 2 Samuel chapter 13, and look at verse number 1, 2 Samuel 13, 1, it says, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, he was a brother too. He was a son too, the son of David, and he loved her. She'd be his half-sister, I believe. Verse 2, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Verse 3, but Amnon had a friend. Now see, that's where his problems started right there, with the wrong kind of friend. Watch out who your friends are. Amen. Whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man, and I'll not read the whole thing there. But Jonadab talked to Amnon into doing what he ought not to have done. You can just read it and figure it out for yourself. But that's where all the trouble started there. And Absalom wound up killing Amnon, and I'm going to show you the scriptures for it. But in my mind, my way of thinking, Amnon kind of had it coming. I really don't hardly even blame Absalom for what he did. Look in your Bible there to same chapter, chapter 13, verse 17. 2 Samuel chapter 13, we read 1-3, and here let's begin reading in verse number 17. Now, after Amnon did what he did, then look what the shameful thing that he did in verse 17. Then, this is Amnon, he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me, and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparel. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after he kicked her out of his house, after he shamed her, see. Verse 19, Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment. See, she's no longer a virgin now, because he forced her. He rent her garment in divers colors that was on her, and laid her hand on her head and went out crying. Verse number 20, and Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother, regard not this thing. You know what he said? He said, just Just don't say anything. Don't go and tell anybody. He found out what happened, see. And he said, don't tell anybody. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Verse 21. But when King David heard all these things, I could stop and preach right here on this. You know what he did? When he heard about what had happened, you know what he did? He didn't do anything. He got mad, but he didn't do anything. He was very wroth. Well, isn't that big of him? He was very wroth. Verse 22, but Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. You know what he's doing? He's just holding it in. Man, he's mad. Amnon, her brother. Absalom is her brother. They're all kin to each other. And Absalom, he hadn't done anything, man. He's just gritting his teeth and he's just holding it in all the time. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Verse 23, it came to pass after 2 full years. See, since this event in that house, 2 years have gone by. And all this time, Absalom, he's holding it in. He's just waiting for the right time. You know what he's going to do? Verse 23, it came to pass after 2 full years that Absalom had sheep shears in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim, and Absalom invited all the king's sons. He even invited the king, King David. Won't you come over? We're going to have a big day over here. We're going to shear a bunch of sheep. We're going to have a feast. Won't y'all come over? King David, he wouldn't go. Well, he said, well, why don't you go ahead and let Amnon come over? David at first said no, but then finally he said, okay, I'll get him to come over. He got him to come over. You can read about it down through here, verse 25 down to verse 33. You can read about it sometime. But he got him over there. He told his other brothers and his servants, I'm going to get him drunk. I'm going to get him to drinking wine. And when I do, then I want you to kill him. And he had his brother Amnon killed because of what he did to Tamar. All this time, he's been holding it in. And he had him killed. And then guess what he did? He ran. Because David heard about it. David thought at first, all of my sons are dead. But no, they came to him. They said, no, it's only one, only Amnon. Well, that's bad enough. But he didn't act like it bothered him all that much. And Absalom, he fled the country. You know where he went? He went to his grandpa's house. Went to his grandpa's house. Turn the page. Look at verse number 37. See, Amnon's dead now, and Absalom fled, it says in verse 37, and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur. That's his grandfather, because David, in some of his military campaigns, had married a Gentile woman. I can't remember what her name was. I think it was Maacah. But Absalom fled and went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, king of Geshur, and David mourned for his son every day. Well, he's gone. He's gone, see. So Absalom went to verse 38. So Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. So he's there 3 years. So now it's been 5 years since this incident happened with Tamar. 5 years. He stays over there at his grandpa's house for 3 years. Has no contact with King David. Verse number 39, and the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom. You can tell there some of his feelings for Absalom. See, he longed to go forth to Absalom concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. Look in chapter 14, the next chapter, verse number 28. Oh, by the way, before I read that, we don't have time to go over it, but through a series of events, Absalom came back home. Joab worked in some things there, and Absalom came back home to Jerusalem. But him and David, they never were the same, you know, again. Look in verse number 28 of chapter 14, 2 Samuel 14, 28. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. See? So now it was 2 years and Amnon got killed. 3 years he stayed over at his grandpa's house. He went back to Jerusalem and spent another 2 years. What is that? 7 years. 7 years have passed now since the incident with the girl, Tamar. See, 7 years have passed. Now you can close those up and go back over to chapter 18 and 19. Things were never the same. They were never right again between him, between Absalom and his father David. You need to know this about Absalom. Absalom was a rebel. And it may have been hard to be the son of a king in those days, especially with 19 sons. I don't know how much time David got to spend with any of them with 19 sons. I'm sure David was busy. All of this trouble with King David actually goes back to David's, whatever you want to call it, affair with Bathsheba. Because God told David, God forgave David. You need to know this. God forgave David, even though he didn't have to. But he forgave David. David was still the king. But God told David, because you've done this thing with Bathsheba, the sword will never depart from your house. He lost 4 members of his family because of that incident. He not only had an affair with Bathsheba, but he killed her husband. Man, every time I read over that, I say, no, David, don't do it. Don't do it, David. Sent a letter with Uriah the Hittite, a good, loyal soldier, a mercenary soldier, loyal to King David. And he sent his own death warrant back to Joab at the battle. Said, put Uriah the Hittite out there in the hottest part of the battle. Terrible thing. One of the worst things in the Bible. And then pull back from him and leave him there alone and let him get killed. It's just as if David pulled the trigger or shot the arrow himself. It just shows you what the best of people can do in the wrong kind of situations. That's where David's trouble started. He had trouble from then on. The sword will never depart from your house, David, because of this deal you did with Bathsheba and killing Uriah the Hittite. Absalom, he was a rebel. Maybe he was raised by his mother, who was a Gentile. And the consequences for David's actions and all that. You can find that, by the way, in chapter 2 Samuel 12 and verse number 2. And so now then, because of what David did, David cannot even discipline his own children because of his personal sins. He don't want to discipline his children because he's guilty of a bunch of stuff, you see. So it's hard for him to discipline his own children. Absalom was a king's son, and he was rich and had everything that he wanted. But soon, being the king's son was not enough for him. He decided that he wanted to be the king himself, type of Satan, you know. It's what Satan wanted. He wanted to take over the throne. And he was willing to kill his father David in order to get that throne. He wasn't satisfied with being the king's son and doing all the things that king's sons do. He wasn't satisfied with that. So the Bible tells us in chapter 15 of 2 Samuel that he sowed the seeds of discord among the brethren. Don't have time to go all over it, but it's an interesting read there. He gathered himself an army, and King David didn't even see what he was doing. He's gathering himself people around him, gathering himself an army. David didn't see it. He went out on a journey and proclaimed himself to be king in Hebron. You read that in chapter 15 and verse 10. Claimed himself to be king, and David heard about this. that Absalom has proclaimed himself to be the king now. David got afraid. He gathered his army, his men, 600 men, and they fled Jerusalem. They left Jerusalem, and Absalom came in and took over Jerusalem, see, as a temporary king. David fled. And they came in, and Absalom got his men around him to try to decide what to do. What are we going to do? They decided they're going to go out. They're going to go after David. He got some false advice from some spies that David had put in there. David was wise. He had a spy in there. And so they decided to go follow King David and his army, Absalom and his army. And they found him, and there was a battle in the woods. It was a thick forest, and there was a battle. And let me see if I get you all right here. Yeah, there was a battle, and David's army was beating Absalom's army, and so Absalom, he fled. He fled on a mule. He fled on a mule to run, and with his long hair, he went under, the Bible says, under an oak tree. Turn in your Bible to chapter 18 and verse number 9. He fled going under an oak tree. And it says in chapter 18 and verse number 9, and Absalom sent the servants of David. Absalom met the servants of David, and Absalom rode upon a mule. See, he's fleeing the battle here. And the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold of the oak. And he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. I never have liked Absalom because he had so much hair, you know. Had all this thick hair, you know, on his head. And he only cut it. He polled it once a year and weighed it. Well, it was really thick, and he's riding on this mule. He runs under an oak tree, and the oak tree's got thick branches in it. And he gets his head caught up in the oak tree, and the mule runs off and leaves him hanging there. Famous preacher of long ago, Brother Roloff, Lester Roloff, he preached a sermon entitled, "And the Mule Walked On." And the mule walked on. See, that's what sin will do for you. It'll leave you hanging, and it'll leave. It'll just leave you there, see. And the mule walked on. And so there is Absalom hanging in the midst of an oak tree, dangling up there. And David has given strict orders. Don't you kill that young man, Absalom. Don't you kill him. That's what he told his soldiers. But some men, they saw Absalom hanging up there, and they ran and they told Joab. They said, "Absalom's hanging in a tree over there." He said, "Well, did you kill him?" They said, "No way, man. King David said, don't touch that man." Joab said, "I'll take care of him." He went over there and took some spears, cast them through. Absalom falls down. They all gather around him. They all kill him. The Bible says they cast him into a pit, Absalom's pit. And so the battle is just about over. Meanwhile, David is back at headquarters, wherever headquarters are. They send some runners back to tell David the news. That's where we read the text. They send the runners back. The first runner, Ahimaaz, I believe was his name, he comes and he doesn't know what it is. He just wanted to run. He just wanted to run, you know. He comes and David asks him, "What about the young man Absalom?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I saw a battle going on out there, but I don't know what happened." He said, "You stand over here." Cushai, he comes running in. I bet you they ran barefooted. I bet they could fly, man. They ran. I don't think they're even on horses. I think they're running afoot. That's what it sounds like. They come with the message. And this is where David hears the news. "What about the young man Absalom? Is he safe?" He said, "Well, all of those people are just like that young man." In other words, he's dead. And that's where David puts his head down. And he begins to cry, and he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, Absalom, my son." Keeps on saying that over and over, you see. I want to give you some points here on that subject, on that thought. It's not too late. See, David cries for Absalom, "Oh, my son." But you know what? It's too late to go back and change anything. It's too late. Number one is this. it's too late for David to love his son anymore. He loved his son all right, but he can't change anything now. He can't bring him back. He's dead. He's not coming back. And by the way, there's no indication that Absalom knew the Lord. Whether he did or not, I don't know. There's no indication that he did. Maybe Absalom had a little discipline. Maybe, as I said before, he might be raised by a Gentile wife. His wife might have been an idolater. I don't know, you see. See, that was his problem with the women. And his son, Absalom, had even worse problems than that with the women, see. But my point is this. David cannot love his son anymore. It's too late. So I wanted to make this point for you folks. Teach your kids while you can. Teach your kids while you can. Some of y'all are like me. Your kids are already grown. What you can do about that is there's two things you can do. Number one, you can keep on being an example. You can keep on being an example. And number two, you can pray. You see, you can pray. But while they're little and you have them home, see, after they're gone, you can't just sit them down and say, do this, this, and this. You can't do that. So while they're young and while they're little, you teach them the right things. Teach them the right things, you see, while you still have them. It's important, the important things. I want to tell you this. What is the best things to teach your children? I mean, they're going to learn a lot of things from just watching you. My parents never did teach me anything like sitting down and saying this and this and this. They never showed me anything from the Bible. As I said this morning in Sunday school, when I was 18 years old, I didn't know a single verse. I didn't know nothing. I believed there was a God. I thought the Bible was probably true, but I didn't know anything in it. I knew zip, zero, you see. I might have known Genesis 1:1. But the three things that are important, especially for you to teach your children, the basic things. Number one, teach them to be saved. Not just to be saved, but teach them about God and salvation. You know, don't just say, well, they said a prayer one time when they're little and that's it. That's enough for them. No, that ain't enough. Because if you don't teach them any more than that, when they get older, they're not going to know if they're saved or not. Unless you teach them, you come to Sunday school, you do all that kind of stuff, teach them at home, you see. Teach them about salvation. Yes, okay, say a prayer. But you teach them about salvation and all the things that go along with it. Number two, teach them to work. Teach them to work. Number three, teach them to be honest and keep their word. You don't have to call your kids to preach. You don't have to call your kids to do anything. God will do that. But if you don't teach them those things, if God wanted to call them, well, they ain't going to do nothing. If they're going to be lazy, then what good are they going to do for God? See? So out of all the stupid things I've ever done in my life, and pardon me for using myself for an example, I taught my kids those things. See? See, now they've all got things wrong with them because they got that from me. They got that from me. All the good things, they got that from my wife, see. But I guarantee you, all of my kids, they are hard workers. They're hard workers, man. They outwork me. And so see, it's too late for David to love his son. One of these days it'll be too late for you to teach your children, so teach your children while you can. Number two, it's too late for Absalom to love his father. Absalom dead. He's not coming back. You know what? Absalom and his father, they had a problem. And Absalom should have got right immediately when he came back to Jerusalem. Or maybe all that stuff should have never happened. But it did. So he should have got right immediately. But now then it's too late. Things were never right again between David and Absalom again. He just couldn't get over that problem, you see. Whenever my kids have had big problems, I think I did this. I think I got on to them, but I helped them. I didn't help them with every little thing, but if they had a big problem, we helped them. You know, now some of the things my kids did, they probably don't remember this, but I remember at least telling one or two of my kids, if you do a certain things and you get in jail, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave you in jail. I ain't going to bail you out. See, well, that never did happen. But anyway, you see, so you don't need to help your kids with, you know, don't be bailing them out of all their little problems and things like that, you know. You got to teach your kids to stand on their own two feet. You got to teach them to be men. You got to teach them to be women and nothing in between.
That's right.
Make sure that the line between the boys and the girls and men and women, men and women, is never crossed. My girls were never tomboys, and I'll guarantee you, my boys are never anything to do with feminine. Man, I mean, there was a big gap in between there. We had a dishwasher at home, and there's half of it right there, and there's the other half over there. See, they did the dishwashing, they did cooking. They never did any hammering. They never picked up a nail. They don't know anything about that, you see. The boys, they didn't do any girl stuff, man. They're far from that kind of stuff, man. And so Absalom, he can't love his father anymore. He can't get right with his father anymore. Number three, it's too late for us to do some things. It's too late for us to do some things. 12 years ago today, this is the 27th of December, 2020, 12 years ago today, my mother, about this time, probably about an hour later, she died in the hospital at Clovis. 27th of December in 2008. I was driving a truck at the time, and I was hauling a load of, the day before I'd taken a load of milk to Denver, Colorado. And the day before she died, my sister in the evening or night or early morning, I can't remember, she called me and she said that my mother had, it was something like a stroke, it was something like some kind of an aneurysm exploded in her head, and she just fell down over and she never regained consciousness. She woke up a little bit, but that was about all. I had to keep my logbook up to date, so I slept a little bit. And I came back, and I got back, I think it was on Friday. I came back, went in the hospital room with my sisters and my wife and all of them. And my mother stayed alive for about another hour. And then she died, you see. So you see, it's too late for my mother to do anything. My mother wanted to do some other things. She was 83 whenever she died. Here's a list right here I found. It's my mother's New Year's resolutions. She wanted to do some things, but it's too late. She wanted to do some more art. She's a good artist. She's a good artist. We got pictures all over the house of my mother painting. Y'all don't know this, but Jeff, your pastor, man, he's a good, he can draw. He can draw. I think he's probably got a picture or two in his office there. I don't know if he can paint or not, but he can draw with pencil. Man, he's really good. They took some art lessons, him and my other son, him and my son Clayton. She wanted to do some more art, some more quilting. She wanted to finish the family tree. She wanted to finish the church sign. She wanted to clean the yard. She wanted to trim the hedge bushes, get some curtains, finish painting rooms, get the doorknob fixed on the paint room, and it's still not fixed. Get some new eyeglasses, see. It's too late. She can't do it anymore. Here's her obituary right here. Whenever we had the funeral, I think it was the first day or last day of the year. Jeff was a pallbearer. My other son, Clayton, was a pallbearer. Two other grandsons and two sons-in-laws. They're all pallbearers. Over here we got Proverbs 31, see. Too late. Sometimes too late to do anything. She can't do those things. You know what? It's too late for some things like sins of the past. What can I do about them? Can't do anything about them. Can't change them. Sins of the past, you know what I have to do? Just confess them to God and forsake them. That's all I can do about them. That's all I can do about them, you see. Sins of the past. Prayers that should have been prayed. Well, I can still pray them now. If there's any unkind words that are spoken, I can't go back and change those. If I made any bad decisions, I can't go back and change them. I can't go back and change them, but I can start now, and I can do better. It's too late for us to do some things, but you know what? It's not too late for some things. So what you need to do is do it now. What you can do, do it now. I preached a sermon after my mother died, and I entitled it, Do It Now. Whatever you need to do, don't put it off. Do it now. While you have the time, while you're here, while you can do it. You see, God is merciful, and God will forgive over and over again. He will give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. That's what God will do. That's how good God is. As long as you're alive and you're here, it is not too late. It's not too late to be saved. If you're alive and kicking, it's not too late to be saved. It's not too late. It's not too late to love somebody. It's not too late to forgive somebody. It's not too late to make things right. It's not too late to win somebody. Many years ago, I don't know, 35, 37 years ago, I was at the hospital in Clovis on the base. Back then, it was easy to get on the base. It's almost impossible now if you're not in the Air Force to get on the base. But back then, I'd just hold up something. I'd hold up a card, and they'd just wave me on through, and I'd go to the hospital or go out there and visit somebody. I was out there visiting somebody on the base at the base at the hospital, and I had seen these people that I went to see, and I was walking back out. I was going out, and I was going down the hallway, just kind of glancing in rooms, and I looked at this one room, and it was my cousin. My cousin, his name was Raymond. He's quite a bit older than me, but he was in there, and I stopped and backed up. Raymond, I barely knew him, you know, because we weren't that close, but I had seen him around, and I just knocked on the door, and I said, hey, Raymond. I went in there and talked to him. I didn't even know it. He had cancer. He's quite a bit older than me. He must have been at the time, he must have been, I don't know, maybe 40. That's not very old. But he had cancer, and it was really bad. I went in there, and I sat down with Raymond. Been first time I'd seen him in a long time, and I still remember that guy, man. He prayed, he cried out to God because he's afraid he's going to die, and he did die after a while. Raymond, he said, oh God, he cried out just about like David did there. Oh God, save me. Oh God, save me. Stayed in the hospital a little while after they got saved. He went home, and I went to see him at his home a little while, and he just kept getting worse and worse, and he finally died, see. But see, as long as I don't believe this business about, you know, you can do certain things and you can't get saved. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe as long as you're alive and if you turn to Jesus Christ, you can be saved. I'll tell you where I get that. I get that from Luke chapter 24 and the thief on the cross. And I love the thief on the cross. Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, a thief on this side and a thief on that side. And one of those thieves said, if you're really the Son of God, then, you know, come down and we'll believe then. The other thief looked at him and said, look here, this man has done nothing amiss. We deserve what we're getting, but he hadn't done nothing amiss. And that old thief on the side there, he said, he looked at Jesus. You know what he said? He said, Lord, remember me. That's all he said. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That's all he said. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, you see. He got saved minutes before he died. See, as long as you're alive, you can be saved if you'll turn to Jesus. Now, some people, their hearts maybe get so hard, they ain't going to. But that's not God. That's not what God does. That's them. Anybody feel turn to Jesus, they can be saved. They can be saved, see. Not too late. Not too late. It's not too late to be faithful. It's not too late to give. It's not too late to give to missions. It's not too late to say, I'm sorry. It's not too late, see. You're still alive. You're still here. It's not too late to be saved. Amen. Let's bow our heads for just a moment.